Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 214. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Fozzie's a chicken!
I guess? That's weird.
Man, you stop spreading rumors.
He's the first chicken.
He's the first chicken.
Of the chickens, if you will.
Broadcasting to us from the International Space Station itself.
Yes.
Because you're out of this world, Fozzie.
I'm so confused. I don't know. We've already lost it. Tony is here, as is Fozzie. And with special guest Peter Freeman with us.
What's up, guys?
He is filling in for Jeff, who was supposed to not have internet, but somehow they fixed it themselves. I don't know how that's possible.
It's possible.
He's sitting somewhere with a tinfoil hat and, like, an antenna.
He's just, like, making the internet go through his head. All the internet actually goes through Jeff's head, so...
And he's using it to play Xbox Live instead of
Skype. That is a scary place, but that would, like... Oh, shit. That would make sense for, like, 90% of things on the internet. I would be terrified if anything had to go through Jeff's head.
Jeff is... He just... sent me a message. He is on his way. He forgot his beer downstairs, so...
Oh, okay.
Of course.
So he went downstairs to get a beer and couldn't answer the call.
Hey, what type of third world country is he living in where his beer is so far away?
DeKalb, Illinois. So...
God damn.
It's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Games are starting to come out again.
Yay!
Oh, yeah!
We're in the game zone.
Games that are 3 years old.
God damn it.
They're back. Better than ever.
And you know what's crazy about it is Diablo 3 is 3 years old, and it's one of the best games to come out this year.
Holy shit, is it 3 years old?
Just about.
Damn.
Wow. Came out
I, 2011,
that.
I bought it on launch day.
It was early in the year.
Yeah.
Of 2012 or 2011?
2011, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
I believe so.
It's early 2012.
2012, so it's about 2.5 years old.
Yeah, it was released in May.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So, it's a... And this is the third time it's been released.
Yeah. Like,
as a whole package, so... But I'm playing it. I know Jeff is. We played for a bit the other night. Fozzie, did you pick it up again?
Playing it right now.
All right, there you go. So we were playing Diablo.
I missed the boat on that somehow. I played maybe through the first three acts, and I just gave up. I didn't find...
In the original game? Or
yeah.
So I could see that, because... And I really liked Diablo 3 when it first came out, but the balance in that game was messed up. Fozzie, he'll kind of attest to this. They screwed up the loot and how that all worked, because they were trying to implement the real money auction house, and they made some questionable decisions with the way that game worked.
I mean, the thing is that in the other Diablo games, gold was kind of like just like a thing in the past. You didn't really care too much about it.
You didn't need it.
When you first started playing that Diablo 3, you realized that all the good shit you could get off the auction house, but you need a ton of fucking money.
Right.
So,
and like rares and like, well, rare items, legendary items, they dropped with way lower like rates than they did in the past.
Yeah.
Whereas like you really had to like be playing on like one of the higher difficulties before they even started dropping with any regularity. And I started a game on normal, which is probably too easy. Here on the Xbox One. I got 3 legendary drops in, like, the first couple hours.
Jesus. Yep. What class are you playing?
Crusader.
That's like, cool. I only ever played Demon Hunter, I think.
I played Demon Hunter on the PC. I love the Demon Hunter. I love ranged characters.
Yeah. I like the idea of just of being able to just hold the mouse button down and have
and just spray
crossbow bolts and
But I thought Crusader, because you know it's the new class for the expansion Reaper Souls. I hadn't really played much of it, so I thought I would create a character and go from there. And she's actually pretty cool. So she has some cool powers, like a lot of crowd control powers, where she can push enemies away or kind of stun them, so she can clear them out really quickly. The game definitely has, it's been tweaked a whole lot.
Well, I still have it on my original. My BattleNet manager.
Yeah. Well, pull it down. And it, all those updates are in the PC version, so this is just.
Yeah. So they're not that's all balanced stuff, I guess. Right?
Yeah.
So. Okay.
Yeah. The only difference, I guess, is that on. The PS4, Xbox One, console versions, the amount of enemies on the screen is slightly lower because, I guess, the way it works on the controller, you don't have the fidelity, don't have the absolute control you do with the, a mouse, so.
I see. Okay.
But other than that, it's still a great game, and it just kind of goes to show that it's been a weird year for games, because there's been a lot of, like, really cool games, but then there's, the fact that this is one of the best ones to come out, it's a little disheartening.
Well, I mean, people thought that when Last of Us came out again as well, a couple months ago, or last month, I guess, I was getting everybody all hot and bothered again, and there's not necessarily anything wrong with that.
No, it's just it's a little sad that, like, these, Diablo, The Last of Us, these are the games that people are talking about. I mean, we do have Titanfall, but
that's about it.
Yeah, for us, like, we do our power rankings each month, and Titanfall's been at the top since March. Like,
oh, really? Okay, I was gonna say that seemed like a real flash in the pan.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, like there and gone.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, I don't get the whole.
Tony, myself, Don, we all kept playing it. So,
are you guys like the only three?
No, there's a ton of people still playing it.
Okay, that's great. I just it's not in really like the main.
It's the game you play. You have an Xbox One.
Right.
Because there's nothing else on the system?
Well, I wouldn't say that, but it's definitely the best game that's on the system.
Okay. Now, how long do you think that lasts until Halo comes out?
Like, well, Halo doesn't come out till next year, so...
Oh, that's next year? I thought that was, November.
Well,
the Halo Collection is this November. But
that's what I'm talking about. Game, like, but... if that... Because that has all the online play and stuff. Like, I feel like
I'm not sure that'll be enough to overthrow Titanfall. Like, people really? Like Halo, I just think...
What about Call of Duty or... But I guess I'm just thinking old games, not new ones. But...
I think Destiny has the best chance of...
Yeah, Destiny's definitely the game I would pick for...
Kind of, like, overtaking it as the multiplayer game of choice. At least until Halo comes out next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Jeff and I are going to be playing a ton of the Halo Collection.
I mean, that actually sounds like that was the first game I looked at and went, holy shit.
That's an awesome package.
I should look at that Xbox One. Sunset Overdrive, it looks great and all, but I think that's still next year, too.
No, it's October.
October? Oh, goddamn.
Yeah.
There's so many games in October, they start spilling out my brain.
Yeah.
At some point, I forget exactly when they are coming.
I think the Xbox One definitely has a slightly better lineup than the PS4 right now,
how far out do you mean? Or you just mean period?
Right now, as of right now, like there's not a whole lot to play for either system, but the Xbox One kind of has more of the distinctive games.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then there's all the multi-platform games; they both have them. So,
sure.
But anyway, Diablo is still great. Jeff, you've been playing it, right?
What?
Diablo.
I am trying to play it right now. I am actually trying to teach my girlfriend how to play the game. Literally, we just started as we speak. So it's like, what do buttons do? And what is
the master multitasker here?
This is going to be horrible.
It's nice that you have such confidence in her.
Well, it's a simple type of game.
It's a simple game, but she has no concept of anything in it. So I'm like, I'm doing like sign language to explain what.
Kind of wish we had a video of this.
that's pretty amazing.
Like I'm like pointing to like there's a map on the screen. There's an arrow that shows us where. But I'm doing that all with like pointing, and yeah. But yeah, I've been playing it. Yeah.
Fozzie, did you play it on the PS3 or Xbox 360 last year?
No.
So this is our first time playing it on consoles. Jeff, you did play it, right?
Yeah, I played on 360.
Yeah. I really like how it works on the controller. I think it's really well done.
Yeah, it's an awesome fucking game. Like, I want more games like this on console, but Diablo will have to be it for now.
Yeah, well, probably for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. I mean, there's others, but...
And you know, they've done a lot to make the endgame content really cool. They've done that in the PC version too, but they added adventure mode, which is basically like high experience, high gold count quests that you run after, you know, the game's over.
Is there an end to adventure mode, or does it just
no?
It
just
quests?
Like it just keeps going. Like there's like a 40 or 50 quests per act that you can run, and each of those quests gives you a Nephilim Rift key or whatever. You need 5 of those. You can open up a rift, and those are they're special dungeons that are randomized, kind of like you know the original Diablo.
Mm-hmm.
And each level has like a different type of enemy in it, and
right, and that's how you get the Last of Us one in the PS4 game, right?
Is that where it is? Is that where the enemies are in there? And so like you go through there, and it gives you there's a higher chance of epic loot drops, and so it becomes like you know that's what you do for the end game. And then they kind of refined it, so the max level is 70 now. But with that, there's this thing called Paragon leveling.
Oh, that I heard about, yeah.
And so once you hit 70, there is you gain experience towards your Paragon level, and your Paragon level it handles like old school leveling, like where you kind of like add skills to re-add points to like dexterity and strength, and so you can like really build up like really cool characters using that stuff, and those Paragon points actually transfer, they're account wide, so it's not just character based, so they transfer to your other characters as well.
Interesting.
So like if you like, alright, I'm gonna run my Crusader, I get him up to 70 and I start getting Paragon points, and then I want to run a Demon Hunter, those points actually transfer to the Demon Hunter, even though you know he wouldn't be level 70 yet. He would start with those stat boosts.
Oh, okay. That's helpful if you just want to experience like the other classes but don't feel like grinding your way through everything. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I guess you could put it on easy mode too in that case, but you know, it's still a nice thing that they did instead of making you redo the whole thing.
Yeah, and they've added a... They've added a bunch, a couple new experience, like a couple new difficulty levels. So it's not a like normal is actually kind of like easy mode now, I guess.
That's what I've heard. I've heard of people like not dying like all the way through the first 4 acts, and I'm like, I did die often, but I still died on normal. Maybe I'm just bad at the game.
Yeah, no. When the game was out originally on PC, it was a. It was a little bit more difficult. They've kind of modified it a bit, and you'd level really quickly. When I played on PC, I got to Diablo at level, I guess it was like 35 or 36 for Act 4. And I am on Act 2 right now, and I am level 28.
Holy shit.
I did like some multiplayer with Jeff, and I played a little bit with my son, so I don't know how much that had effect on it, because experience when you play multiplayer is higher, because the enemies are harder, even if you're playing on normal. It's pretty crazy that, like, I've only had the game for a little while, and...
You're almost back to where you were towards the end of the game.
It's insane, so...
Damn.
They've definitely made a lot of changes in that regard.
Did they ever put the competitive multiplayer in, or did that just sort of fly away into the ether?
There's a... It's called Battle... Like, the Battle Arena or whatever. I have never actually tried it, so...
I mean, I heard it was kind of garbage, but... From, like, what people were saying, initial impressions, but I never thought it made it into the final game.
The concept of it is super unbalanced, so... Because you would go in with whatever, you know, equipment you already had, so...
Somebody who plays 20 hours a day...
is going to have way better shit than you, so...
It's the crap out of you.
Yeah, but I think
you never come back and play
people in your party.
Oh, is that how it worked?
Me and Brian tried it out earlier. Okay. That's what I saw.
Yeah.
Hey, remember when Diablo's hardcore was okay? Yeah. Those were good days.
Not anymore.
So is hardcore not, like, you're a hardcore player, so, like...
Yeah. Listen, it's a great softcore game if you enjoy being of handsy descent. But there's just, like, the thing is that, honestly, it comes down to two things. It's not being able to use health potions when you want, and not being able to TP when you want.
Yeah.
Because, okay, here's the thing about hardcore is, like, let's say, especially with the boss battles in this game, is once you're in that event, you can't leave it. So...
Right.
Let's say you're in Inferno mode, or whatever they call it now, Torment mode, and then, like, well, you really need to be sure that you're high enough level. You can't, like, in Diablo 2, if I wanted to face Diablo and I was not high enough level, I would just back out and just be like, alright, yeah, I'm gonna just use my rejuvenation potions and get the fuck out of here.
Now you're stuck there, yeah.
Yeah, now you're stuck there, and essentially you just have to die. You have to waste your hundreds of hours you put into a character because you were not high enough level to kill the boss. I mean, like, how fucked is that? It's insane. And they still haven't fixed it. So, again, like, soft core wise, yeah, this game's great, but they killed all elements of it being a fun hardcore experience.
Now it's just harder.
Yeah. But I don't know if it makes it necessarily better.
That sounds like if...
And also the 10-second runoff. So let's say I get disconnected in the internet. It won't automatically disconnect me. I'll be in the world, game plummeted for 10 seconds.
So
not being able to do anything.
How does that work on the console? Like, is that still affect it?
Sure, it's still the same thing.
There's still the 10-second, like...
Yeah, if I was to, like, just, like, exit out the game... Or not exit out, but just, like turn off my console real quick. I mean, I don't know, but I'm assuming that's what would happen.
Yeah, well, in...
So does it connect you to Battle.net through the PlayStation, or through the console versions?
I don't think so.
So then why would there still be the delay of you if it's not, like, feeding back to a server of any kind? Why would it... Still having like a 10-second delay
I
of you.
It's still on the server, right? Like,
I don't. But you can play offline.
Oh, you can.
Yeah, like that would have to be.
Well, maybe they fixed that portion, but still.
Yeah. So I mean, yes, but you're right. It's, like, you don't have town portal scrolls.
I mean,
like,
yeah. I guess yeah. If you're in a boss fight and, like, you need to get out, then yeah. I guess if I want to just turn off the console,
you pause it and quit instead of
even then.
Town
that's
portaling.
Scary. You know, I don't like that.
Right. So you don't know what would happen. Like,
if you turn it back on, like, I could not tell you how many times I alt F4 in Diablo 2, come back to see my guy dead or like down to like one health. Like seriously, a fucking sliver.
True.
So even to have like a additional 10 seconds, I mean that's just that kind of puts it over the top for me. But again, I'm enjoying it. Like in softcore mode, it's awesome. The party is great. The new loot 2.0, like you were saying that you got like 3 legendaries. Like that same thing happened to me. Like I played Diablo 3, the original, 60 hours, a good amount. And I got maybe 1 legendary that whole fucking time.
Right. This is crazy. Like I'm not getting any like. It was like still a fun game, but it was like you're not getting the loot that you kind of expected out of it.
Yeah, it's like it's almost too much loot. Like I'm now replacing legendary items, which I never would have done before. Insane, right. Unheard of. But I guess it keeps it interesting. It definitely keeps you on your toes, and there's a ton of different legendary items, so it's not boring.
I do like how you can kind of quick equip stuff without having to go into your inventory. By pressing up on the D-pad, and it'll like cycle through the items you just picked up, and it kind of tells you whether it's like good to equip or not. It has, you know, like a green arrow pointing up or a red arrow pointing down, or just like so. They've done some smart things to kind of transfer it to console.
Oh, that yeah, for sure.
I'm gonna sell.
But
sell all my junk.
So
Jeff's over there selling his junk. Yeah. Sell that junk. Sell it.
Sell all your junk, Jeff.
Can I buy some of your junk, Jeff?
Hey, I love your junk.
It's got some awesome junk. Great.
It shows you on the screen.
He's not paying attention to us.
No, he's not.
That's pretty much. It's pretty much all I have to say about that game. It's good.
Yeah. So that's Diablo. Pete, what have you been playing?
Crypt of the Necrodancer.
What?
Well, okay.
Which
I think you made that up.
No, I did not. It is a like pixel art roguelike, like dungeon crawler type thing.
So Diablo.
No, because it's not about like it's not about the loot grind. It's like Spelunky in the sense you're just going through zones and trying to get to the end without dying, so you don't start back at the beginning. But it the weird like you know gimmick, if you want to call it that or whatever, is that you have to move in beat with the music, and doing so. Gives you a coin multiplier, and your money is your score, obviously, these types of games, so the goal is to keep that up. The fun part is that you can play with a dance pad, which I have, so.
Interesting. Pretty cool.
That's what I've been doing. It's been a fun form of exercise.
Extra life.
Besides that, it's just been some Spelunky as well. I haven't been able to play much else, unfortunately. I want to. I need to get a PlayStation so that way I could play like Destiny when it comes out and replay Last of Us would be really awesome.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you play Crypt of the Necromancer without like the DDR pad?
Yeah, you can just play with the controller. It has controller support, and you can do it with the keyboard as well. You only move in the 4 main directions. You don't need a mouse or anything like that. It's very simple. Let's see if I can.
Interesting.
Crypt of the Necrodancer. I'll pull up the site here and drop it in the chat for any of you guys who are curious. It's just necrodancer.com. It has a trailer. I saw it. I was watching a Twitch stream and somebody was playing it, and I was like, "This."
You're like, awesome. "I want to go necrodancing."
I do, and so I did.
Sounds dirty.
Now you have.
And it's been awesome. I thought it was a lot of fun. It's only $15. It's on early access, but. It's still with, you know, all the main mechanics are there. They occasionally put out balance patches, but all the other stuff is like more levels and other characters to play as that haven't been added in. But you could still play through the 12 levels that are there right now, no problem.
Sounds pretty cool.
Oh, I did get Mario for the 3DS. That, I knew I'd been playing something new.
For 3D Land?
Something old at the same time. Yeah, I bought that recently, like maybe 3 or 4 days ago at GameStop, and it's been really fun.
Yeah, it's a really good game.
I'm obsessed with trying to get all the star coins before I move on to the next world, because I must have them all. I know there's a reason I'm supposed to collect them, and once I do, I'll be...
It's like Pokemon. You gotta have them all.
Well, I've been playing Pokemon, too, because that's been a whole other thing, trying to trade and...
Everyone should play Pokemon.
They should.
Fozzie, start playing Pokemon right now.
No!
It's good for you.
It really is. I'm very excited for the new ones that are coming out in November.
Me too, I can't wait. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Ah, oh, yes. Alright, that's it. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Chris.
No. Because now Tony's gonna tell us all about the Pokemon.
I'm really not, because I don't have that much to say. I traded for the three Gen 5 starters.
Okay.
Nice. I have those two.
Yeah, because, you know, you can only have one if you play through the game, so you got to trade for the other ones. And I was excited. My son loves the Pokemon. Now I have all the ones that he likes.
Nice.
It's great.
I got a Gen 2 starter yesterday. I was very excited about that.
Oh?
Like gold and
silver. You get more than just Gen 1 starters? You get Gen 2?
Well, Gen has had different starters.
I was trading around, and I managed to convince somebody to give me one of the ones from gold and silver, which are my favorite, so.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Just complete gibberish.
It's like, I have Pokemon. I don't get it. I just don't understand it.
The starter is the first Pokemon you get.
Yes, yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
So you're talking about each Pokemon game has different creatures that you start with.
Right. And you can't find them in the game.
And you've traded, you can't find, how do you get them then?
Well, you can, basically what it sounds
you,
like...
You can breed them.
Yeah, you can breed copies of the same one that you have, and people like to use those as bartering chips to get other unique Pokemon.
Right, so the only way you can get the starters that you don't have is to trade for them.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a real black market thing going on underneath all this, but...
It seems rather complicated. But if you guys enjoy
it's a game for little kids. It's not that complicated.
Until you start getting into the shiny nonsense. And then
right.
I did that last week, and my brain just started melting through my ears. I was like, I cannot handle any of this.
And like how they each have a secret trait.
Oh, my God.
Like the there's seven values, and I don't think it's seven. I think it's 13. And trying to breed the perfect Pokemon by getting all 13 values to be perfect. It's apparently takes hours and hours and hours.
There's a secret layer of Pokemon that Nintendo has made specifically for crazy people. And I mean, I like the shiny Pokemon. They look different. Sometimes they look much better than the original ones, but trying to get them is literally impossible. I don't understand it. It's all number crunching. A lot of people have made mods to mod their game to give it to them. And I was like, that's way more trouble than I want to go through for a Pokemon that might be red instead of blue.
That's pretty much the only difference. It's just a different color.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris is excited. I think he's fallen asleep now.
He's debating whether he should just cancel the podcast right now.
Yeah. It's so weird. It's it's been, as I said with Diablo, it's been a really weird year for games. Tony's playing Pokemon, and I've been playing MMOs, and I don't know what's going wrong with us.
But I've been playing a game I play every year.
Okay. Oh. Tell us about that.
I'm playing Madden. Get excited.
And what are the changes?
Well, earlier this week I started playing Madden 25. If Jeff was actually listening, I started a career mode as a quarterback, and I ended up on the Bears as Jay Cutler's quarterback backup.
Oh, okay.
I played through an entire season, did not play a single snap at quarterback. I was the holder on kicks, so I got to control every field goal kick and extra point kick all year long. But that's all I did for the entire season.
Really? That sounds really boring.
The Bears won the Super Bowl.
Well, so you have a ring.
I have a ring. I got the achievement, yeah.
For winning the Super Bowl?
No, it's you don't win an achievement for winning the Super Bowl. It's based on the prestige that your player gets. So I got the Blaine Gabbert Award.
Oh,
for
yeah.
having as much prestige as Blaine Gabbert.
Well, sir, you pretty much just won the game itself. So
I have no reason to play it anymore. It's done. My Madden 25 career is over.
It's mad.
But today was the first day for access to Madden 15 if you have EA Access, which I do. So I started playing that, and the game actually opens up in a manner similar to FIFA or NBA 2K, where it actually puts you into a game directly as you launch it for the first time.
Right.
So you get to play around, and it seemed to be really focused on introducing the game to new players,
which That's was good.
Which is weird because Madden has a very like cult following.
Right.
And it tends to be really hard on newbies who don't know how to read the field or like what buttons to push. And it's like, as you go through, it's like giving you really basic controls as that first game loads, so whoever you are knows what to do. And it doesn't do a full game. It actually puts you into the NFC Championship game from last season.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
In control of the Panthers. Driving the field with the ball against the Seahawks defense in that final drive at the end of the game.
Panthers.
So my first act was to send the Seahawks home. They didn't go to the Super Bowl last year.
So you rewrote history, basically.
I did.
Well, that's fucked up.
Tony but the time traveler right here.
You finish that, and the game dumps you into the trainer, which I ended up playing for like an hour and a half. Even though I've played every Madden game ever, and I don't really need to be trained in Madden, it was really cool. It like focuses on football concepts and like showing you how to read a defense based on what the formation is and what to look at. So it seemed really focused on taking somebody who doesn't like know basic football concepts and teaching them that kind of thing, like what a cover two looks like, why that's different from a cover three or a cover six, how to beat a man defense and that kind of thing, and what to read, which safety to look at and that kind of thing, which I thought was really cool for people trying to get into the game and trying to get more competitive instead of just like pushing buttons and trying to randomly find an open receiver to actually play. So I would say if you were someone who like hasn't gotten into Madden in a long time, this would be a year to look at it, because it seems to be really focused on bringing new players along. It added some other cool stuff too, though. The pass rushing has really changed. So if you're on the D line, as soon as the ball is snapped, there's like a button you can hit to like engage with the blocker, and then there are some controls to do the spin or a power move based on the way the blocker's leading, and if you hit the button at the right time, then it actually prompts you to do that instead of making it seem random like it did before, like it was all numbers-based. Like there was a calculation based on the player's strength and that kind of thing. Now there's an element of button-pushing skill into addition to that calculation that goes on. So some cool stuff going on there. Similar stuff with the running game too. If your player is hit, you can like hit a button at the right time if you're stumbling to not fall down, that kind of thing. So some additional stuff to like freshen up the experience.
How
I will
many
say
more
though,
years
I,
do you think they have in Madden? Like
Madden is played obsessively by football fans. They can release another one every year forever.
I'm just
There's
curious
that
like
much interest
to
in
how much you know. Do you think at some point they just start going back to changes, like reversing things? Just to
oh
start
yeah,
making
oh definitely.
It a fresh change, like, oh, we changed this like in Madden like 4, but now we're going back just because We got to do something different.
All the time.
Oh, yeah. No, you got to figure they've been doing that kind of thing for a while now.
Well, what was it, a few years ago? It might have been even more than a few years. They added, like, the vision cone.
Right.
And, like, the vision
cone
that sucks.
For a year.
We're going back to, we're going back to playing a different way, like the normal way of Madden, so.
This year, the hit stick is back. Welcome back, hit stick.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
they also added some, like, button controls for the hit stick, so you don't necessarily have to hit the stick. Like, you could hit X really hard, like, repeatedly to do the hard tackle. Okay. Which is actually a lot easier than, like, throwing the thumbstick down, in my opinion. But you tend to miss a lot, so you can hold down A to make, like, a real wrap-up tackle. They seem to be getting away from the whole just move your player towards the other player and automatically tackle them.
Right.
Like, you actually have to push buttons now.
Which could be good, I guess.
Yeah.
It could also make it a little more complicated, like, for you know, the more casual players.
Yeah. So, but like I said, there seems to be a lot of focus on making Madden more accessible this year. The one cool thing I did notice that they changed when I was playing my little one drive to beat the Seahawks, they changed how the audibles work. So last year, if you ran a hurry-up offense, when you moved up to the line, you had a choice between the play you just run and four other plays.
Right.
This year, you can actually pick any play that's in that formation.
Oh, those are really good.
Okay.
Which gives you a lot more options, because a lot of the time, I would run the hurry up in Madden 25 and get to the line and have to run the same play over again because I didn't like any of the other choices. Like, none of them would fit the situation. And now you can just pick from all the plays that necessarily would help you.
All right.
So,
seems like this might be the one to jump back into if you've been out for a while.
Yes, this is the one I would recommend.
All right.
So far, based on my hour and a half of play.
When does it actually come out?
Tuesday.
Oh, okay, cool. So this is sort of like a...
This is the EA Early Access program, and I should have my review copy should arrive sometime in the next couple days, so hopefully I can have a real review out soon. We'll see.
Is this on all consoles, though, or is it just the new ones?
No, it's on 360, PS3. I'm not sure if it's on Wii U.
I
don't think it was last year. So.
I don't count that. As...
I wouldn't hold your breath.
No, yeah. I'm not expecting that. I'd be surprised.
Like I've heard before, it's news now when a game is coming to that console. Not when it isn't.
Frozzy, you play anything?
Just Diablo.
Cool.
Yeah. So, nothing else too much.
The only other thing I played was a... I started going through my Steam backlog.
Oh boy.
And I played a game called 1943 KGB Unleashed, or maybe 1953. It's a point and click adventure. It's not very good. 1953 KGB Unleashed.
Oh Lord.
Yeah, it's really weird. I'm almost done it. I guess I put about 2.5 hours into it. And evidently, like, I'm on, like, the last area. And it's really weird, strange, like, paranormal. But, paranormal storyline, but the game is, it's, like, all point and click. Like, use this item on this thing to get this reaction. Very, like, there's nothing to indicate why you would do anything, either. It's just... Like, run your mouse over everything on the screen and see when the cursor lights up.
Oh, great, so it's a pixel hunter.
Yes, it's like, I'm not down with that type of game anymore. I don't know if I ever really was, but... this is evidently short, though, so I'm happy about that. I'll be writing something up for a new feature starting on the site at some point about my shitty backlog, because I have a ton of games on Steam.
You have all the games on Earth.
Yeah.
You have like 900 games in your Steam library.
It's Jesus pretty bad. Christ. I don't have 900, but...
Alright, fine. 856.
It's definitely probably 150 plus, and like a lot of them, you just get on these Steam sales, they're like, oh, 99 cents, $2. Like, that's how I got The Witcher and The Witcher 2. They were like $4 each. Like,
Humble Bundles are the worst for that.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing. Like, that's how I also add to it. It's like, oh, I'll give $6 for charity. Oh, now I have 12 new games that... these are all awful.
Well, it's not even that. Sometimes I'm like, sometimes I just want the one game.
Right.
And it just happens to come with 8 others that I'm like, well, okay.
Like, you don't get a choice of going, no, I don't really need the other 5 games. You keep them. But, yeah, so that's what's going to happen here. I'm going to kind of go through and look everything over. Jeff's not really listening to us. He's giving a tutorial on how to play
Jeff! Diablo, so. Jeff, can you hear me? Jeff!
It's like he's there, but he's not.
He's there. He's not really there.
It's like, well,
Jeff,
we
miss
him,
you.
But...
We miss you. Come back.
Anyway, do we have any news?
This is a pretty sad week for news, to be honest. I do have... we were making fun of games not coming to the Wii U. Two big announcements this week. Call of Duty Advanced Warfare will not be coming to the Wii U.
Oh, no.
And Ubisoft announced that Watch Dogs will be their last mature game coming to the Wii U.
That would include Assassin's Creed then, right?
Assassin's Creed is not coming to the Wii U.
Huh.
I'm assuming that Watch Dogs is coming just because they got so far along with that there's no point in not launching it now, even though no one's buying.
Isn't it finished and they just decided not to put it out yet?
It's probably bad. It's probably not very good.
Sure.
That's the assumption I'm making.
I haven't heard astounding things about the next-gen versions either, though. So.
I mean, it's an okay game. It's playable.
That it is. It is playable.
It's not going to light your console on fire. You're not going to hate it. You're also not going to love it. So.
No, it was you know what? It came out at just the right time.
Right. Everyone was so bored. You're like, oh, it's something to do.
All right, I'll play this.
It's like if you give a starving man a moldy piece of bread. It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I have bread. I'll just, you know, eat around the mold.
That doesn't make me feel any better.
I like the analogy, damn it.
any other news outside of that?
There was some... like gaming press stuff going on that I didn't really understand. But
oh yeah, that's right. I was like, I knew there was something big. Are we gonna talk about that?
I don't know anything about it, Peter. I figured you would know. It involved a woman doing something. That's all I know. I don't even know who it was.
I can give the rundown, like judgment free, if anyone is curious.
No, no, judge away, my friend.
Because I'm not sure how the validity of the facts.
Listen, let's not skip around the bush. What happened here is some girl in the gaming industry was a huge whore and was sleeping around. And her jaded ex-boyfriend decided to post all the shit. So it was two horrible people just
doing horrible things to each other.
Sure. And okay. That
I feel a lot better about the world now.
It should not have been taken any further than that. But of course, it's the gaming industry, so lots of things were.
Well, yeah, there were a lot of misconstrued facts about it, and one of them was that, you know, people because one of the people that she happened to be with was a reviewer at Kotaku, everyone naturally assumed that she had done it to purposely, like, boost her boost, you know, the exposure and of her game and stuff like that.
Right.
What's his name? The editor in chief of Kotaku has come out and talked about that. I'm not necessarily sure, just on my own views of Kotaku, how much I believe any of that. But that aside from that, you know, that's everyone. There were a lot. The bigger problem was just the amount of innocent people who got caught in the shitstorm that was. What was it? Monday, I guess. Tuesday, I think.
Yeah, but, I think it was Tuesday.
I just saw a bunch of angry tweets and people like going back and forth. Like, I have no context for this whatsoever.
That's the thing.
It started over the weekend, right?
Yeah, I feel like he just called out everyone that was involved with her, whether like sexually or whatever. But
he did. I read the whole thing, or I read some of it. I skimmed a bunch of because it went on and on.
It was like 10 pages. Even the don't too long didn't read one was.
It was a fucking manifesto, basically. But
it was like 20 pages long.
Yeah, he did like censor the names of the people that he knew would not have legitimately known that they were dating at the time that she was with them and stuff like that. I mean, still doesn't, you know, make up for the fact that he was an asshole about pretty much everything else. But, you know, my bigger issue was the fact that she was such a, you know, women's rights in the game industry issue, you know, person, stuff like that, and then she's doing all this other stuff, like, behind her boyfriend's back and all that. I don't know.
Hypocritical.
What?
No, I'm just saying that, like, it's pretty just, like, hypocritical, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. And the chat logs were pretty much the only thing that I would have taken as truth, because it's not exactly sure how easy or hard it is to fake those things, but especially on Facebook.
I mean, it's not like she was denying anything. She was just, like, just trying to defend herself and saying that, you know, my sex life has nothing to do with anyone else, which, yeah, I understand where she's coming from, but...
Sure. My only issue with that is when you are using yourself as a marketing tool, and like you as a person exist as a professional entity, like you are working as a political activist for something or whatever, your personal life is who you are. And I think people have a right to judge you on that because, you know, you're expected to uphold the values that you are, you know, going around talking about and stuff. And when you don't, I think people have a right to know that you are lying to them.
Well, yeah, and the fact is, yeah, she's kind of like a big thing in gaming, and so, like...
Who is this person?
It was Zoe Quinn. You ever hear of Depression Quest or things like that?
She's an indie developer.
She was the one that, like, everyone wanted her for Giant Bomb. Like, oh, yeah, they're going to get a girl in there, and then she didn't get the job.
I thought that was Kara Ellison that everyone was talking about.
No, I'm pretty sure it was her. I'm almost positive.
I would not have expected that. I would have expected Karen before anyone else.
So yeah, but she didn't get it. And so the thing is that, like, if you're in the spotlight and you have, like, deep shit like that going down, I mean, there's just going to be consequences, plain and simple. But in the end, I don't think it was anything else than, like, two really bad people. Like, you know, there's times where people will air out their dirty laundry on Facebook and shit. This just happened to be with a person that is out there, you know? I mean, like, people say this shit all the time about, like, actors and actresses that have bad breakups. That shit comes out, too. So don't make it into anything else besides, like, it's just two shitty people that kind of fucked each other over.
Yeah, in the end, it was nothing more than...
It's nothing against girls in the game industry.
The only problem was that there were, like, allegations that she was running around, like, censoring, like, literally everything that anyone said in regards to, like, that was negative, whether it had to do with her game or things like that. Right. That is obviously...
Censoring? Really shit, what do you mean by censoring?
Like, she had... There were a bunch of videos that she got taken down off of YouTube that were, I believe, negative reviews of her game or negative... I don't remember. Or, like, not, like... Or that were just videos, like, discussing her, and I guess sort of, you know, this hypocritical nonsense that had gone on. Not in any, like, real, like, shaming way, just sort of, like, presenting, like, what had been said and things like that, and they were gone. Reddit had a huge fuck-up involving this thing.
Oh, they had a field day, baby. Sure.
Holy shit, that was...
I try to stay away from Reddit.
No.
Well, not a place to be.
I think it's just funny 9 out of 10 times. I certainly don't go there for news or a hard-boiled discussion on the politics of the games industry, for sure. But there was a post that was put up by Total Biscuit about the whole thing. I don't know why people were asking him about it. And he didn't know either, but he decided to talk about it anyways.
Great.
And it had, like, over 10,000 comments. They were all deleted. Like, and any topic that was made about the incident, or whatever you want to call it, was being removed by the Reddit mods and all that. So it was just a whole field day edit, because apparently the mods of the subreddit had been in contact with Zoe Quinn, and they were like, we'll take care of all of this for you, you don't need to worry about it. And that was a big problem with people, made them very uncomfortable.
I don't know. I mean, should there be a discussion on Reddit about people's sex lives? Is that right?
We'll see, because at the time, no one really knew what it was about. There was, you know, a lot of people weren't actually focused on that. They were all talking about whether she had done any of this in order to get positive
I think that's a fair discussion point. Like, she's entitled to do whatever she wants, but in terms of the integrity of, like, a critic, I mean, she can do whatever she wants. I think it comes actually more to who she may have been sleeping with and what they were doing for her.
Sure, right. It was a big Streisand effect, essentially. What was going on Reddit is that if the mods there left well enough alone, no one on Reddit probably would have been talking about it. There were a couple people who were like, hey, what's going on? And it wasn't until that Total Biscuit post with 12,000 comments just up and became a graveyard that everyone became really interested. And the discussion quickly shifted away from her and into why Reddit was going on a crusade against its users for just wanting to talk about this thing. And Giant Bomb had its own weird censorship issues with it too, and I don't know. The whole thing was just uncomfortable.
Now I'm reading about her, and apparently she received a bunch of death threats. Not related to this, but when she first started promoting Depression Quest.
Yeah, and that was nonsense out of its own. I didn't really read on that. That had something to do with Wizard Chan, I think, or something like that. I'm not sure. And people were posting about that too, but it's so unrelated that I kind of ignored it.
Well, I guess that would be a reason for the Reddit moderators to react that way, where someone had already received that kind of threat and they just don't want it to escalate.
Right.
Sure, but they didn't ever wait for any of that to start happening. Like, and I understand wanting to get it ahead of the curve, but when you're taking care of a post that is about the situation and has nothing, you know, is someone's view on it and not related to her, because they're going to find out anyways, you know, like, hiding it from Reddit isn't really going to do anything. And all they wanted to do was, they got more people curious about it by constantly going around and deleting everything than they would have.
That happens a lot in PR, where somebody's trying to hide something and the fact they tried to hide it makes it more evident.
Right. Because nothing stays hidden.
Yeah.
No, and by trying to hide it, you're only going to make it more obvious.
Yeah. And then it just becomes a, like, you did something wrong, so...
Yeah, why are you trying to hide
stuff? That's why you were hiding it, like, instead of letting the discussion take place. And you know, is whether, you know, the discussion is in poor taste or not.
Yeah, I mean, everyone I saw talking about it, at least on Reddit and stuff, a lot of people on Twitter seemed to be ignoring it, which was annoying, because I didn't like the idea that everyone was, like, I don't know. I mean, Phil Fish has always been kind of an asshole, but there was real people coming out of the woodworks in defense of her when I don't necessarily, you know, while I agree that, you know, it shouldn't necessarily have been aired out for any other reason except to perhaps expose the Kotaku corruption, if there happened to be any. But the way that other people were reacting to people who had legitimate questions about her was just as vile as some of the stuff people were saying about her in the negative. You know, like, he was... There's a good thread if you want to laugh about him, Phil Fish, coming to her defense and stuff. And I get wanting to defend your friend and stuff. Holy shit.
Phil should not open his mouth.
in ever.
He really shouldn't.
He doesn't know, like, he's not in control. He doesn't take criticism well. It's just...
Yeah, I caught the tail end of his rant, and he just... He's really a crazy dude, and... Like, he started going, oh, you know, stop asking me about Fez 2, you guys don't deserve it, gamers are... Like, and I'm like, you know what, like, I don't know what you're talking about, and you're lumping us all in together. Like, you know, I don't want Fez 2. I don't want your game. I don't want to support you, because I think you're a jackass.
Yeah. I think fucking... That's the problem. People are like, oh, just watch him when he's in the indie game. He's really down to earth. I'm like, but still, that he's doing, like, shit like that, where it's just really, like, just disrespectful to everyone. So, I mean, he doesn't get a free pass because, yeah, he looked like, oh, yeah, I understand his struggles and where he comes from, but that doesn't give you permission to be a fucking asshole.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't deserve Fez 2. Motherfucker. What the hell are you doing with your life anyways right now where you're even in a position to say that?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, sometimes I don't understand why Phil Fish is still a person people pay attention to, if maybe for the fact that he's a crazy person.
That's why. It's because he does things like this, and you can count on him to do things like this.
I think the issue that I had with it, besides her being a hypocrite, was the fact that everyone was really unwilling to talk about the potential issues that this had. You know, her being the crusader for all this feminism stuff, which is great and all, except for the fact where she didn't actually, you know...
What does that have to do with feminism?
Well, no, she was... The point that she was making...
Like, what does someone's sex life have to do with...
Not that point.
...feminist
just,
issues in the gaming industry?
No, I just think the whole fact that she... I'm trying to remember how
I think you're making a connection between two things that are actually two separate things.
Perhaps. I'm trying to remember how I phrase it, because I took very careful consideration with this when I was talking to another friend, and I'm like...
Yeah.
Man.
Like, women being hired for a certain position doesn't have a whole lot to do with whether that woman sleeps around. That's not...
No, exactly, and I don't think that it should be anything than just like, again, two people whose dirty laundry got aired out, and it should
right.
be, there should be nothing else made
like,
out of it.
We should not be in that conversation. We have nothing
to
do with
now. That. Now I know that she's kind of a terrible person, and so is he. But like, as far as anything else, I'm not going to like judge her on anything else other than the fact that. Yeah, maybe she did sleep around. Probably ain't going to be the first time, and it's not going to be the last time it happens. I mean, that's just... That's
it's like, you know not to get involved with her.
Right.
Exactly, like...
She's not good girlfriend material.
Yeah,
exactly. I think that's, you know... That's
I did think yeah. kind of the way she was... Like, that letter she wrote was, I think, the thing that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. It was rather high and mighty about...
Oh, yeah, like, I
why
want
to... Why she deserved ever. To not have any shit thrown her way.
And that, yeah, that's the thing, is that, like, everyone was... like, I almost put it on Twitter, I'm just like, okay, like, what he did was fucked up, but she's a terrible person, right? Like, we're not just giving her a free pass. I mean, that's... Yeah, that's still some heavy-hitting shit. She cheated on that dude, like, 5 fucking times, and he was just, like, taking it. I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And she did, again, she did not, like, deny anything. She just said that my sex life is personal, and I will not be held a terrorist. And then, what? No. That doesn't mean,
held a terrorist?
Like, shit.
Yeah, the title of the post was, I will not negotiate with terrorists. And I was like, alright, I think...
I was like,
I think,
listen,
we think we're
don't
a little more
throw that, yeah, don't throw that Wait. Fucking term around. You're not... Okay.
Well, I mean...
And then she's like trying to throw.
That's a terrible thing to say. Like, in
you
light of things
real.
That are going on in the world as it stands, like
that's a lot of things too. Is like who are like you're joking, right? I mean, after all the shit that's going on, like in the U.S. and in the outside, and this is the shit that like gaming journalism like adheres to and fucking makes a huge deal about. I mean, that's it's a joke.
I think that's one of the reasons why I didn't make much of an effort to track down what actually happened here. Like, there were actual, like, real things going on.
I think it's an interesting read, though. I mean, like, you know, just to see, like, this guy fucking had evidence, like, fucking everything.
Like, this dude was thorough. One of the other things that bothered me was, like, when she was telling him not to go public and all that stuff, like, she was worried about her own career in the end, and she was like, oh, I've done all this, like, work for, like, rights and things like that, and she's like, it's all gonna blow up in my face and be for nothing. It's like, well, you kind of fucked it all up by doing what you did. Like, you know, she's not worried about...
She just wants to live in a world where there's no consequences for anything she does, and it just doesn't work out like that, so... I mean, again... I think it's fucked up what happened, and it probably should not have happened, but you know what? It's not like he was fucking making this shit up. She didn't deny anything, so.
Yeah. No. And I think, if there was any discussion to be had after the fact, it would be whether that Kotaku stuff was true or not, and what that potentially could mean and things like that, you know? Otherwise,
what was alleged? She was involved with someone who was covering
Nathan
her game.
Nathan Grayson, I think, was the guy's name.
Some other funny things went down with that is that, like, I guess he either wrote a review or a preview piece of her game, and it mysteriously disappeared off Kotaku after this stuff came out.
That's the only real thing, like, in the end that I was paying attention to. Was whether that had any validity or not, because that would be the only thing that had any sort of consequences, not maybe industry-wide, but, you know, it would be an actual thing to pay attention to instead of this TMZ, like, drama
right.
that's going
like,
on.
Like, I don't care what celebrities are sleeping with each other. I really don't care what some game industry people are doing with each other. Like, do whatever the hell you want. Like,
I mean, yeah, again, but I understand what Pierre's saying is that all of it's fine and dandy, but that Kotaku thing is pretty serious. I mean, if she is sleeping around to better improve her scores, not only is that a slight on her, but that's also a slight on Kotaku and just saying, well, I mean, the trust is gone there, and why should I even come to this gaming website if I know that there's a potential where they have an employee that will give other games for reviews, you know?
Right.
And I think that, and that's the thing with game journalism, and it's kind of has lost it's a lot of kind of
credibility.
Yeah, like just in general, just like the, just with, especially with last gen, there's just too many games out there that I just feel like didn't deserve the right scores, and that's the thing with game journalism, is like all of them are really good friends with developers, and it's really weird. Like, I don't know how it is in other industries, but that's always been fascinating with me, is that these people hang out all the time together, all the time. So, like, at what point are you giving a good review because it's your friend or because it's the actual quality game? Because, yeah, you want to help out your friend, right? I mean, that's what we do as humans, but... I don't know. It's just, you have to just put your faith into them. So,
I think what you're talking about, Fozzy, is why I don't, you know, I look at reviews more for curiosity at this point and not for, should I buy this game or not?
There are a lot of companies that focus a great deal of attention on the review scores their games get. Like, there's big money in this for people.
It was
Obsidian who lost a whole bunch of money a few years ago because their bonus check for Fallout New Vegas was based on the Metacritic score for, and they got an 84 instead of the 85 they were aiming for. And there are other companies that are working on similar contracts. Like, this is big bucks.
And I think that's in some way, you know, like, forcing their hand. Like, you know, you don't want to be, you know, a dick and be, like, the one guy who caused your friends at that company to lose all that money.
lose their jobs. Everybody got fired. It's your fault.
Yeah, and so if someone can do some sexual favors and get a few thousand dollar bonus out of it, what's stopping them? So, I mean, like, and that's the thing, is that, I don't know, it just, it does make me feel uneasy. Like, again, if she wants to sleep around with, like, dudes that don't, like, are not part of the gaming industry, fucking do what you will, you know, that's your life. But I think it's, you know, when it is something that could impact your game in some way, in a positive way, that's when kind of shit is hitting the fan a bit. So.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. Zoe Quinn.
We talked about that a lot more than I thought we would. Probably more than I really wanted to.
Nah.
Nah.
I don't know.
Is there any other news?
Not really.
We already covered Gamescom. Did you guys do that already last
week?
That
was last week. Yeah.
We talked a little. Is there anything in particular you wanted to talk about?
I don't know. Did either of you guys play PT? I'm just curious what you guys thought of it.
Yeah, Fozzie and I played it. Yeah.
I was very scared.
Because I have PS4, so I can't play it yet. And I am, like, a huge Silent Hill fan, so
I think the... I mean, I really, like Fozzie, I really liked it. And, it's very well done. It's actually scary, like, legitimately kind of like Silent Hill 1, 2, and 3. Except I don't think that's how the game is actually going to be.
Yeah.
The more I think about it, like...
I don't either. When people say that, I want... You know, I think what they need to look at is that this, at least, if nothing else, speaks to the ability of the team making the game.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And, you know, sure, it might not be first person, and the whole game might not revolve around a, you know, 10-foot hallway or whatever throughout for 5 hours, but the fact that they're able to create those puzzles and those scares, I think, does say something to the fact that the game still might be able to create moments similar to that.
I'm hoping. That there is... I think over the last couple of years, we've seen more and more games, horror games, like kind of adopt the first-person perspective because it puts you in the protagonist role. So, like, in a game like Outlast, where, you know, you're running in terror, like, it's because you are scared, not because, like, oh, the enemy's going to get me, and the shooting sucks, and...
Sure.
Or
I'm also... I hope that's not what they go with, though, because I am kind of tired of the whole hide-and-seek genre.
Sure.
Like, you know, and like a bunch of other people have said, you know, you don't cast some dude like Norman Reedus, I'm pretty sure does not know what a video game is. By the way,
has he done interviews where he's come
I have
off
seen
that
him
way,
attempt
or?
To talk about the Walking Dead game, and especially at like things like the VGA awards and whatever, and it's been
well
awkward.
Well, to be fair, the Walking Dead game that he is featured in
is garbage.
Well,
no,
yeah,
not that game. I'm talking about like the this was the year that the Telltale game was nominated for Game of the Year and stuff, and it was him, the dude that played Glenn, and the woman who played Michonne, I think, and he did most of the talking, and I don't know why, because he was... I was like, I'm pretty sure the dude has never played anything remotely close to a video game before. It's something special. But, you know, I guess you get a job where you can, and he's worked with Del Toro before, so maybe there was something with that connection, and
I mean, Del Toro's definitely been trying to get a game off the ground for a while now, so...
Yeah, good for him that this finally came through, because I'm curious to see what he'll bring to the table. Hopefully more than just his name.
I hope so. When you get a PS4, you should definitely give it a shot.
That was the game that sold me on one. I was like, I'll get one eventually. And stuff, and I was like, holy shit, there's a new Silent Hill game. I need to get this thing as soon as possible, even though it probably won't be out until, at the very earliest, the
end
of 2015.
Oh, no, it is... I mean, like, it's... As I said, probably nothing like what the actual game is, so I wouldn't even think that this game is being developed...
Like, it's so early in the development process that
there's
no...
Like,
What do you think the reveal says, though, for, like, the future of game reveals? Like, the fact that this has gotten so many people talking and stuff and has, and about a property that has more or less been ignored and embarrassed of its own shadow.
You're gonna see a bunch of like copycats at least try and replicate it, and they'll probably fail, and we'll go back to getting information how we used to.
Which I guess isn't a bad thing, because if it's, you know, it would sort of lose its allure if everyone did something like that,
right?
I mean, it
might be one of those things where it's, you know, it's something different, and that's why it worked. Whereas, like, oh, go do this demo, and then, oh, it's another one of those things again. Like, it's just not gonna have the same magic.
Was there any word on whether that was an exclusive or not? Or is it just kind of like a first on Sony thing?
It's probably the demo was on Sony because Kojima is used to working there. Konami's not in a great spot, so I can't see them being, like, unless Sony dumps a lot of money towards them, and they don't have a lot of money to dump.
No,
apparently he was very upset that Metal Gear Solid 4 was an exclusive. He was not happy at all. Yeah.
Huh. Which is weird because, I don't remember where I was going with that thought. Shit. I don't know. I guess because he included all. He actually like wrote stuff specifically for it and stuff. I don't know. And then I guess Revengeance was both, right? And then PC,
right.
I guess. So, and this one's coming to everything, right?
Yeah.
Weird. I don't know. I guess I just found it odd that maybe Sony was the only one who would let them put the demo on and like do the whole mystery thing, and Microsoft is like, no.
Or maybe that's where Sony just, like, they had just enough money to be like,
right,
hey, throw it out here. Like, we'll give you what you need. Like, they couldn't go and buy Tomb Raider, but they could buy the, you know, the demo to Silent Hills, which I'm not sure I like the extra S added on.
But I don't either, but hell, as long as it takes place within the fucking town this time, I'll be satisfied. But,
it was just a good indication of where they're going to go with the new one, you know? I mean, and again, I was telling Chris that even if this isn't a final product, which it probably isn't, I'm sure it's going to be third person. But, I don't know, like, I really enjoyed it, and yeah, maybe that might get, like, pretty shitty, like, all the time. Maybe there's going to be, like, specific parts where you play first person exclusively, something like that.
Yeah, something like Silent Hill 4 I don't think would go unappreciated in this age of horror.
But, like, at least, like, they're trying to bring out survival horror, because, honestly, survival horror is, on consoles at least, is so far and few nowadays. It doesn't, yeah. Survival horror doesn't even mean that anymore.
Right.
If you count, like, if Dead Space is considered survival horror, I mean, come on.
We've got a real problem.
And it shouldn't be, because Dead Space, while a very good game,
it's almost like an action adventure at this point. It's,
yeah,
it's kind of like the Resident Evil route, where everyone is, you know.
Yep.
I mean, I'd argue it's been that way since the first game, but.
Oh, let's slow down, sir.
I mean, I go like, Dead Space 1 is kind of like Alien, where it was a little more focused on the scares. There was more action in it than what you'd normally expect, but then, like, Dead Space 2 definitely turned into an all-out action game. Like, it became Aliens. So. Was there anything else from Gamescom that you...
I think it was the only thing I ever wound up paying attention to. And I wasn't even aware that it had happened until a friend had started teasing me about finally buying a PlayStation. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, there's a new Silent Hill game. That made my week, pretty much, so... I don't know, did anything else important happen besides the Tomb Raider nonsense? Which
they announced lots of strategy games. Why does no one pay
attention? Oh, boy.
New expansions for EU4 and Crusader Kings 2.
But hey, they did talk about Civilization, which I am more than hyped for. So.
Beyond Earth. I'm excited for that game.
That is going to be amazing.
That didn't make our power rankings, did it? I don't remember.
Civ did.
Oh, wait, yes, it did. Yes,
Beyond
it did.
Earth did. Actually, Gal Civ 3 did, too.
Yeah, well, it's at the top of my list, so it's better.
Right. I mean, it's at the bottom of our list, but it did make the list, so.
Damn it all.
You're important.
I'm really interested to see how Beyond Earth turns out.
Yeah, the new, like, tech tree stuff they're going on sounds really interesting. It's not just one tree that everyone follows now, which I think is actually a really good idea.
That's become an actual... That's really common in strategy games now. Civ is actually late to that party.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, most 4X games these days do not have all the civilizations follow one tree.
Well, that's good. It breaks up the pacing a little bit and allows for variety in the AI as well.
Which is good, because the Civ AI has never been exactly top-notch.
No, it's not.
More bottom-notch.
There were other strategy games that Tony's excited for, so it came out of there.
Come on, Cities in Motion. They're doing like a Sim City type game that you can actually play offline, and you have a huge city.
Well, I mean, City.
They're a real Sim City game. God damn it!
Yeah, I played some of the Cities games before. I think I played Cities XL.
Yeah,
they are decent Sim City type games. Sadly, they're just not SimCity. But
this is not from the Cities XL folks. This is they do games called Cities in Motion, which were more like transportation sims where you like alter the road network and try to make your city either walkable or a commuter city and like make all kinds of adjustments to the infrastructure. The company that did that game is now doing an actual city builder.
That could be cool.
It's under Paradox, so you know it's going to have their level of quality.
I know the Cities games, you've always been able to build them, and then you can kind of go into, like, it's like visitor mode or whatever, or tourist mode, and like kind of
drive around.
Yeah, like or like fly through with a helicopter. It's pretty cool to just see how like this all works and how it turned out. So
they did that in SimCity 4.
Yeah,
you could fly around the city.
Yeah, which was all right.
But you can't do that in the new SimCity.
You can't do a lot of things in the new
SimCity.
Crappy ass game.
No,
it's such a shame because we were so excited for it. This is going to be great. It's a new SimCity.
And then it came out, it didn't work.
Heartbroken about a game
I was before. So sad. I was just sad.
There's an article on BuzzFeed with all my Twitter quotes about that game. Pretty cool. I forgot what it said. Clearly, I wasn't happy then.
We could assume that.
I don't think we have any questions. I don't know. I didn't check. But Jeff just sent me this text. He is still there, I guess, but we haven't heard him in a while.
He's texting us he's still on the call, isn't he?
He said, sorry, this is impossible. I will probably be back before show's end. Did you hear me snapping on her to chase the guy with the bag of loot?
Yes. No, I didn't hear it, but that is one.
Awesome.
That is Diablo, ladies and gentlemen.
We love you, yes. Jeff, and your job.
At least his girlfriend's giving it a go. That's the thing.
That's right. She's putting in the effort.
Does she know?
My wife would not play Diablo 3. That would not happen.
My wife came out. She like looked at the screen and just like shook her head and walked away.
I've met your wife before.
Yeah. My son likes it. We played a good bit, so.
But yeah, so that's not a game that she'd ever play. She's like, I'll play Candy Crush, and that's about as far as she gets with that stuff.
And you just bang your head against a brick wall.
I can get my wife to play the Lego games. She'll play those.
Yeah,
my girlfriend really likes this. She just likes the fact that you can't really die. Like, that's apparently a really appealing factor.
I can see that.
She doesn't like screwing up, so they make her feel like that when she fails, she's just like, oh, I can just keep doing it over and over again. There's no consequences.
And they've made it, like, easier. So if you fall down a hole and you always lose, like, a blue coin or whatever, now if you fall down, like, the same hole, like, 3 or 4 times, you stop losing coins after a while.
Huh.
That's... I didn't know that. That's
cool. They've nerfed the repeat dying.
They've nerfed Lego games.
So it's like you could still end up being able to get like the all the coins you need even if you die a lot.
Well, if you keep going to the level like and die somewhere else, you'll still be coins there.
If
you're playing with someone and they get stuck in one particular point, you're not completely screwed in terms of coins.
Yeah, so I mean, his girlfriend is trying. Just
I'm back.
Nice of her. Oh, there he is.
Oh, good. And it's been a great show, guys.
See ya.
I mean, I was here, but I had to take my headset off to explain something to her, and then I realized that, like, it's a simple game to play, but there's like a billion things to explain to someone that doesn't really play video games. Like, this is a map. This is what an A button does. This is B button is back.
You're like, press, you know? X. Which one is X?
Dude, I don't know if you guys heard me. Like, we saw the guy. Like, there's like a guy with like the bag of loot that you like got to chase down or whatever.
The goblins or whatever.
I fucking lost my shit. I was like, dude, follow him. Get him. And she's like, I don't even know where I am. I was like, dude, fucking follow him. Like, I was like losing my shit. Like, because you see that guy with the loot, you're like, I need that fucking shit.
I sent you some presents.
Oh, really?
So check your mailbox.
Where is that, in the town or something? Or
yeah, in the town. It's next to the inn. So I sent some items. I saw what level you were and sent some items that might help her out.
Okay. Yeah, I started a new game just with her. I'm playing with my roommate who I played with last year.
Yeah, I saw. Was that who was in the picture with you?
Yeah.
There's this excellent Facebook.
It's pretty funny.
From Jeff's girlfriend, it's like from her perspective, she's laying on the bed.
You can see her legs. Like you just see her legs.
Yeah,
sticking out.
Like her legs are out, and there's Jeff and his buddy are in front of her on chairs and. Playing Diablo, and she said something like, I could be sitting here naked and nobody would even notice. it was great.
I thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah,
I thought it didn't get more likes, but whatever. Facebook is dumb.
It really is.
Yeah. So Jeff, anything else you wanted to add before we close this out?
No, not really. I mean, all I've really been playing is Diablo, and there isn't much else going on, right?
No.
Hey, thank you for your contribution, Jeff.
Glad I could help. Oh, can I say one thing about Diablo? I don't know if you guys covered this, or if it's like I'm being weird or what, but, alright, when you go, like, when loot gets dropped, and you go and pick it up, it, like, automatically is assigned to somebody, it seems like. Like, so I could pick up a piece of loot, and it'll go to player 2 sometimes, even though I'm player 1.
Yeah,
like,
there's...
Was it always like that?
Well, because it's never been on consoles outside of, you know, last year, and, like, Diablo 1 on the PlayStation 1. So the loot that dropped in multiplayer... I don't know how it was handled. Like, I don't know if anybody could see the loot that you were getting.
I thought it was different loot for every player.
That's what I always thought as well.
But I could have sworn when we were playing last year, like, if I picked up something, it went to me. It didn't matter if it was for me or not. I got to be like, all right, dude, I'll give it to you if you give me that, or whatever, you know. Okay, I'll just give it to you, you know. But give me that option. Don't, like, I could sell it for fucking money if I want, you know what I mean?
Right.
I could have sworn when I played it last year it didn't do that, because like me and my roommate, we both thought that was super odd. We're like, what the fuck, dude? There's no reason to race to the loot. Whoever wants to go get it could go get it, and it's gonna go to whoever it's gonna go to anyways. Like,
right.
I find that weird. But.
Which I will say, like, I mean, I enjoy this kind of. Then I don't have to chase after anything. I can just pick up things as I get to them. But there was something fun about like playing like Baldur's Gate on a PlayStation 2, and like I would just like fuck with my friend. Like, I'm gonna go pick up like all everything. Yeah. I'm gonna go hit every chest and every
you kill a boss
every
and like,
barrel, you know, and get every single thing that I can. And he's like, "Where's my shit?" I'm like, "Oh, sorry."
And I could have sworn it was like that before last year, but I don't know. Maybe I just didn't notice. But it, to me, I don't think that's how it was, man. I think I would have noticed that. I don't know.
What was a little weird that like I'm seeing there? It's like P2, like this is yours. P1, this is yours. And if I pressed A on it, it went into my son's inventory.
Yeah. Oh, you're playing with your son, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, is he like?
He thinks pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's this is a game I was kind of excited to have her try, because like once you understand everything that's going on, it's like anyone can really play it.
Yeah, it's mindless. Like I've been playing the entire podcast.
I've been doing it too, and
it's like you don't have to. It doesn't take a whole lot of thought, and you don't have to pay attention to the story. And
yeah, there's not much to it. It's just run around, kill shit, get more cool shit, you know. So right. I think once we get into it more, we got into a little spot here. We had to stop. Where like I swear to God, we entered somewhere where like we're way over or underpowered.
Really?
Like, at the beginning of the game, it's like we were supposed to go underneath the cemetery, and I'm underneath the cemetery, but I swear these enemies are way stronger than they should be. Anyways,
it's still a fantastic game, I think. So
yeah, I'm definitely enjoying playing it again. Like, buying it again gave me an excuse to play it again. I don't think there's that many differences, but I haven't got to adventure mode. You have to unlock, right? Or no?
Yeah, you have to. It's end game content, so you have to finish Act 5.
Yeah, and that will be new. So I'm excited for it.
I'll play a bunch with you. So adventure mode is after you beat the game. You know how like you used to like rerun boss quests, like boss runs and stuff to get loot and experience. Well, it's a way of doing that without it being like, I'm going to run this piece of the game over. Like, so when the game first came out, people were rerunning the butcher over and over again. He's the boss at the end of Act 1. Because it, you know, you run him on like, you know, hardcore or whatever. Not hardcore, but like nightmare mode, like you have a pretty good chance of getting legendary drops. They were seeing so much of that they kind of nerfed him, and like the more you did it in a row, like the less chance you had of dropping anything. So they created adventure mode to basically give you quests to run that'll have high gold, high experience, and high like legendary loot drops. Like chance for all that to happen in them, and as I explained earlier, like Nephilim keys, which unlock these rifts, which are 10 level randomized dungeons, and so it's basically like playing the original Diablo, but only 10 levels of a dungeon, and you go down, and once you beat the boss there, like there's all sorts of crazy like legendary loot, and it's basically like a raid, I guess. Probably the easiest way to explain it.
That sounds like fun. I mean,
yeah.
You just got to get there.
Yeah.
And then like there's the Paragon levels, which are at level 70, and
yeah. And with me playing with two different people and trying to rewatch the Shield, I have worries about it bleeding over into past Destiny release, which is I don't know. I guess fine by me. I like this shit more than shooters.
You've got like 2-3 weeks. So.
Yeah, time is very sparse, though. It's like,
but yeah,
this is one of those games though where you can just kind of like
such a different game too though than Destiny. You don't really,
yeah.
You know.
And no, I mean I hear you on that, but it's like, dude, I barely, you know, just as we started the podcast, the first time I sat down tonight to fucking actually do something.
Like, Diablo is like one of those games, like, you can just pop in and mindlessly play for a little bit. Like, you don't have to be thinking about anything. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's a good, like, I'm gonna keep this around. Like,
yeah.
It's always gonna be kind of by the system, so.
I'm happy I rebought it, too, because that's one of the reasons, you know, it's Diablo. Gotta love it.
The other thing, I forgot to mention this. I bought a external hard drive for my Xbox One.
Holy shit.
And 3 terabytes is a lot of space.
It feels like faster than you think.
Why did you buy that already? You're already out of space?
I mean, I have like 20-some games. I bought all my games digitally, so...
Wow.
You just put the one? How the fuck do you have 20 games already for the Xbox One?
Do you want everything?
Are there 20 games out?
That is the entire library right there.
Well, you got to figure over the last 3 months, they've released 6 games with gold. So you have the, and some of those aren't small. Like,
yeah, some of them are.
Like, what'd you say, Jeff? Crimson Dragon was like 7 gigs?
Yeah, it's like 7 or 8 gigs. Like, holy shit.
I mean, I had Madden 25. I just got FIFA, was it 14, Tony, with the EA access?
Yeah, 14.
So I have that. I have a. You know, Titanfall, Battlefield, Call of Duty, Rise, Dead Rising, Forza, and then like a bunch of like smaller, like Zoo Tycoon, and I had a bunch of like I had like 10 games at launch, like right around launch before the end of the year, so I already had like a bunch of games. That 3 terabytes, that's a lot of space, and I installed everything. And I still have a lot of space left, so...
Yeah, I imagine.
I have, like, 90% of the hard drive left, so...
That's pretty awesome. That's a good feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 terabytes, I feel pretty secure about that. Fucking 60 games at your arsenal.
I think the only thing I didn't reinstall was Watch Dogs. Because I really played the hell out of that, and... don't have much desire to go back and play it again. Anytime soon, at least. But yeah, so that it's really easy. You just plug it in the back, and it goes, it's now ready. And it's automatically ready to play, like, video and shit like that, and if you want to install games on it, you just have to say, format it for games, and it's like a 2-minute process, and then it's done and ready to go.
Oh, that's nice.
Really simple, and the games run right off of that. Like, you just need to leave it plugged in, and it works just like a regular hard drive. Which is evidently also how it works on the Wii U. So,
doesn't it do that on the PlayStation as well, or is it a little more difficult?
You can't use external storage on the PS4, as far as I know.
Oh, shit. Even, like, USB and stuff? I thought you could do USB stuff for at least video.
Maybe for video, but not for the games. Like, you can pull out your hard drive on the PS4 and the PS3.
I kind of want to get one of those for the Wii U, but it hasn't become an issue yet. Like, I still have pretty much a lot of hard drive space, and I download a lot of shit on it. It's just, I mean,
yeah,
all
that virtual console stuff is so small.
Yeah, yeah.
Although, like, the biggest... You can get Disney Infinity for free now, evidently.
What?
You get the toy box mode for free. I don't know what that'll be worth for you, but you can do
I have the biggest thing I have on there is Pikmin, and that's like I want to say at least 4 gigs. But that's it. Like, they're still like, you have, you know, 20 gigs you could use or whatever. I was like, awesome.
Right.
Also, I had a free game on there as well called the Tank 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 game. I don't think it's the full version of it, but it was free, but it was really bad, so I deleted it.
Oh, Tank Tank Tank? Yeah, I remember
that.
Yeah,
not good.
Yeah.
It tanked.
Yeah.
Anyway, Peter's falling asleep.
No, I'm good.
I think we're going to end anyway. But
Feels like a short show for some reason.
That was a great podcast.
Thank you for coming, Jeff.
Thank you.
Did your girlfriend go home?
No, she's here.
She's like,
she's here.
Don't sound too excited now.
There are daggers.
Jeff's like, let's get off this damn podcast. I got things to do.
Anyone see that Key and Peele sketch where they're like terrified of their girlfriends or their wives?
Yeah, that's like right now.
It's giving you the eye. Get over here and snuggle, Jeff.
I want a kitchen just like theirs. And you're going to get it.
Well, we will let Jeff go snuggle, and we'll let Peter go to sleep. And we'll be back next week.
Real quick. I meant to ask this when we were talking about PT. Did you guys ever finish it?
No.
Did you guys get to the end?
Jeff got pretty scared.
Well, the question is, what is the end? Because like we got
the end is the trailer.
No, like I played through it. I guess there's like a puzzle you have to solve near the end where you have to like look at certain pictures or some bullshit.
You have to find the pieces of the photo.
Yeah, we didn't do that. We just played through it until like it kind of seemed like it would be the end, but then there's like that last thing. Dude, that thing is so obscure. I appreciate what it was doing. But if the whole game is like that, where it's like, you have to find a little fucking black dot in the wall and look through that because, like, there's no clue to give you, like, to suggest that you should do that. Like, I really hope the whole game's not like that. Like,
yeah.
I really like what they're doing with it. Like, I like the idea of that, but, like, I don't know. But no, yeah, I didn't. I guess.
I got lost. I didn't know you had to fucking gouge some shit. I didn't even know that was a button. God damn it.
Yeah, like it was just like, all right, this is X'd out. It's like, well, that means nothing, you know. That doesn't tell me to press the, whatever. But like, dude, there's literally one part where you're like running down.
Yeah, there were no explanations of how to like do controls for anything. Like,
and I mean, I appreciate that as like for what they're doing here, but I hope the full game is a little bit better at that. But like,
yeah,
there's a part where you're like running down the hall when it's all red and it's all crazy, and it's like you would endlessly run down the hall over and over unless you stopped at one point and looked where a picture would have used to hang and, like, zoomed in on a little hole in the wall. And, like, that's how you got further. I was like, dude, who the fuck is going to see that? It's like a fucking tiny little thing in the texture of the wall. Like, but, dude, like, the part when you're, like, going through the door and it's, like, they keep saying, like, don't look behind you, and finally you do, and the fucking bitch is right there. Oh, my God, dude. That fucking scared the shit out of both of us. That was fucking great. Like, she screamed, like, fucking Jamie Lee Curtis and shit. I was like, oh my God. Plus, even when the little door was cracked.
When you do these things, you have to record them. That's free content right there.
That pretty much
yeah,
is.
Yeah, seriously.
Honestly,
I was just curious. I mean, yeah, when you have to look in the options, like, literally finding one of the shreds of the photo is to go into the options menu and then increase the brightness all the way.
Yeah, I mean, That's cool for what it is. It's a free thing to tease the game, but like you can't make the whole game like that, where it's just like aimlessly do things, and maybe you'll find something. Like, to me though, it really seems like something that they put together over a couple of weeks, and it has no representation of what they might actually do. So,
I think it might, like as Pete said, just be kind of like a, hey, we know how to do horror, and this is the team that's going to do it.
Like, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of great things in there, you know.
Yeah. Don't touch that dial.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't think you're going to see any of that at all in any sort of final product, you know.
No.
That's cool.
Don't say such things.
I mean, it's a. I wish more companies or like developers would do like little things like that to get you excited about shit. I mean, that was a really cool idea what they did. So, and I thought it was very atmospheric, and I'd love to see more horror like that. But tell me what button to press. Hold my hand a little bit.
I mean, to be fair, the original Silent Hill games were like that too. Like,
I remember when that game, the original Silent Hill, came out, and you have to die, like at the beginning, like your character, like it looks like you died, and you get the you get the game over screen, kind of. And I was so pissed off that, like, I reset it. I didn't know what the fuck was going on, because, like, it does not explain to you that, like, that's... And then, like, you find out that you didn't die, you just, like, you...
It's the beginning of the game.
Yeah, and you wake up, like, elsewhere, but, yeah, it's crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, to speak to that, there's a moment in the game where if you are not wearing a specific item, you will always die when you get to that part of the game. Like, no matter what. You have to like use this.
I didn't even know that shit. Like, what?
And if you don't, that moment will always kill you, without fail. And you know, even in, you know, things like the third game, you have to know in order. If you set the puzzle to hard mode, you have to know Shakespeare in order to complete the first puzzle. Otherwise,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's why I will have a guide.
Sure. Somewhere. Yeah.
For shit like that. I don't know.
You guys guide for a puzzle game? That seems a bit fucking weird.
Dude, I use the guide on...
The guide on the puzzle game. That's like the whole reason you do puzzle games.
No, I use the guide on Silent Hill 2. I thought it was... There was a bit...
Yeah, more. I mean, me and Javi spent like 2 hours on this one part.
Yeah, I remember we were talking about that on Twitter. And I was like, dude, I just used the guide. I don't know. Because like... Dude, some of that shit is archaic design. Like, it's just... I don't know.
Oh, but dude, once we got it, like, it was, like, the most amazing feeling ever, and then you're just like, oh, I just looked online, like, well, that defeats the whole purpose.
Yeah, well, I got there 2 hours faster than you, motherfucker.
Joke's on you.
Hey, as long as you are, you know, you're enjoying the way you're playing it, I don't think it matters.
Yeah, I'm
playing it, like, you know, I guess you guys were playing it, like, right around the same time I was, but it was like, it was the HD remaster, so that's the first time I was replaying it, or ever playing it, and I just kind of wanted to see what the game, like, that series was all about, and Silent Hill 2, that's a great game.
It is a fantastic game. It's not better than 3, but...
I played a little bit of, that's the one that's, like, in the carnival and shit, I remember.
And if you want to experience true terror, you should play through the funhouse.
There's something about 2, though, like, the whole... beginning has a great hook to it, where it's like this guy trying to figure out
the story. I think is 100% better.
Oh god, too. It was great! Like the ending of that game was like, I was like, wow, I couldn't believe that. Like, you know, even back then they were like, trying to do something like a mature story.
There's a great if you're curious to find out more about how they made that game. There's a good documentary that's broken up into like 4 YouTube segments about the making of Silent Hill 2, and then there's a half hour one on Silent Hill 3, and they're both pretty fascinating.
I'd be interested in that, because I thought, you know, Silent Hill 2, story-wise, it was ahead of its time. Anyways, though, I was just going to ask you guys before we got off on this tangent, Evil Within, is anyone actually going to get it, or what?
I am.
Like, I don't know, Chris?
Not right away.
I hear weird things, like, I hear good things, like...
I've heard good and I've heard bad.
Yeah.
I've watched enough videos to make it seem like that for it to be the kind of game that I would play. If the reviews come out and it's similar to what things like Silent Hill Homecoming or other horror games that I've been really psyched for and have turned out just fucking awful have been, then I might skip it for a while.
Yeah. See, sometimes though, shit like that gets reviewed poorly and I might enjoy. Like, it's hard to... Like, survival horror is, like, in a weird spot with that, like, when it comes to reviews.
Yeah.
And then there's ones like Alien. I don't care if that gets, like, fives across the board. I'm buying it. I don't give a fuck.
I hope it gets fours.
I'm pretty sure it's going to...
This is going to be, like, Sonic Lost World all over again. So don't come crying back to us when you
I'm pretty sure... No, I mean, based off of everything I've seen on that, like, it's going to be really good. But,
I heard this last year with...
Judgment has been... always right on cue as far as video games are concerned.
I'm with you, Jeff. I'm getting that game like when it comes out.
So. I don't care. Like, I'm not even gonna. I don't even know if I'll look at reviews. I might look at it just like.
I feel like because of how the last Alien game went, looking at the reviews are kind of a necessity.
I mean, it's different people, and
it is different people, but something about that brand itself has been cursed for so long.
Yeah, but these guys are like, no one's tried to do a survival horror alien game where it's just the one alien. Like, to me, that's like, I'm a way, way bigger fan of the original film, and like that's what they're going for. I'm like, just based on that alone, I'm like, way to go, props. I'm giving you my 60 bucks. Thank you. If it sucks, oh well. If it sucks, I'm gonna be like, just be devastated. But
it's like Jeff was waiting for this all year.
Like, it's been at the top of my fucking like power rankings like all year, pretty much.
That's great. I mean.
Oh, by the way, Jeff, you need to write your Wolfenstein thing for Power Rankings, or I'm deleting it from the list. Because you're the only one who had Wolfenstein on your fucking list, so damn it, write us a sentence.
Shit.
About Wolfenstein?
By tomorrow. Damn
Shut
it.
God damn. Couldn't you just, like, make up something that I said? Like, no, I guess I'll do that. Remind me.
Oh, I can make up something. If you don't write it, I can make up something instead. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, Don and Chris don't love it.
Jeff is the only one that played this stupid game and liked it. And
which game?
Wolfenstein.
Jeff likes this game because he's a tool.
Yeah, right.
I loved Wolfenstein.
Thank you. You don't like it, Chris? What the fuck, man?
I don't love it. It's okay.
I went in expecting nothing out of that game.
Dude.
And I came out really enjoying it.
Dude, that is like in my top five here.
And no. I wonder if that's where you got, like, so if Jeff hadn't said anything, I probably would have picked it up at some point. But he was like, oh, this game's great. And then, like, I get it, I'm like, all right, like, the story's really good. But, like, I'm not, like, impressed by the gameplay. In fact, like, at
really?
parts, I think it's, like, it's just, like, really, like, old style, like, just point the gun and shoot. Like, there's no tactics to it at all. Like,
so what exactly were you, like, because that kind of sounds like a first-person shooter.
Yeah, but so with, like, Doom or Quake, you know, like, it was basically the enemies were bullet sponges. And that's what this is with Wolfenstein. Like, whereas more modern shooters, like, you aim for the head, whatever, and
sure.
Like, you could take them down. Like, their headshots here really aren't, like, they're not a thing, really.
But, well, they are for the perk system, but I never really use that. I mean, this, you can stealth your way through some of it. It reminded me a lot of Half-Life 2, rather, and I think that's probably why I liked it so much.
Another game I'm not in love with, so.
God damn it.
To me, it felt like an old school shooter.
It does, and some of that's also my problem because I put in 7 hours into it, and I'm not even halfway done. Because like it shows
that's
you like
what I
how
love
many.
About it.
It's like and it's like I don't like no. I don't have that much time to put in like 20 hours into a first person shooter anymore.
Just put it on easy mode if you like the story and cruise through.
There were parts I think where I either did put it on easy or was really tempted. There's one part on a bridge I thought was pretty fucking
bearish
where you're like, God damn, these fucking guys they don't stop coming, you gotta keep moving up and like it's even then, but
that place is a nightmare. And the boss too was really confusing at the end, but
yeah. But generally like there are some awesome set pieces in that fucking game. And the story is like it's like a really fun like.
The story is fantastic.
But it's like it's not it's like B movie fantastic.
Oh, yeah,
you know what I mean.
It's like it's 1985 Arnold Schwarzenegger action movie.
Yeah, this isn't like Schindler's List. It's like fucking, but with really fucking horrible, gruesome things that do happen to it, and they do treat it seriously at points where you're like, damn, dude, I can't believe they just did that. It's kind of all over the place tonally, but like it somehow works.
I think it starts off really slow, too, which is probably why it lost on pretty early.
Yeah, a lot of people complained about the first maybe hour, and I would agree with that. Like, until the moment where you all get captured in the beginning, all that stuff beforehand is a nightmare of
it's really rough. And then it kind of kicks in, and then like the interesting parts start happening. But
anyway,
Jeff, write up a sentence on Wolfenstein and send it over to Tony. All
right.
Keep popping in there.
We'll
be back next week.
I don't know
what Tony will have Madden, I think.
I will be playing Diablo, and for whatever reason, the sound right now for me is like sounds like it's going to hell on here, like the audio. So
yeah, no, the robots are taking over Chris's signal.
Yeah, oh my god! All right,
well, well, robots everywhere.
I just moved water.
Goodbye, Jeff.
Stop doing that.
Later.
Goodbye.
Say goodnight,
Fozzie.
Goodnight, Fozzie.